Welcome to Gospel Tangents. I'm your host, Rick Bennett. Please consider donating or purchasing a transcript by going to our website, gospeltangents.com/shop. You'll help support other documentaries and podcasts such as this. We're here to talk about Joseph's first plural wife. Her first name was Fanny. Her last name was spelled A-L-G-E-R. The first question we're going to tackle is, how do you say her last name? All right, well, let's move on to his first polygamous wife. Now, you said Fanny Alger. I've heard lots of people say Fanny Alger. Is there a correct way to say that?
A family member said it was Alger.
Alger.
And I never know how it's going to come out of my mouth. I mean, just because they say it Alger now doesn't mean they said it Alger back then. It's spelled so it could be pronounced any number of ways, and I try to remember to say Alger, but who knows how they said it.
So. All right, well, why don't you kind of give us a brief overview for those people who may not be familiar with the story of Fanny. You know, how did she know Joseph, and how did they get acquainted, and that sort of thing.
You've already talked to Mark Staker, and he's the one I'm dependent upon to try to identify when Fanny actually arrived in Kirtland, because some people want to pair Joseph and Fanny as early as 1831 and all. Mark told me that he thinks it couldn't have been any, that Fanny did not join the Smith family as a domestic in their household until at the earliest, the late 1833, and probably it was 1834. We have one witness, one testimonial, only one, so take it or, you know, do with it as you please, that remembers Joseph saying the angel came in July of 1834. This is Mary Elizabeth Rollins, years later, many years later, remembering this. But for me, I believe that Joseph would not have entered into plural marriage prior to that time. So I place the Fanny Alger, Joseph Smith union, and I believe it was a plural marriage for a couple of reasons I'll explain, in 1835, probably late 1835, maybe early 1836. I don't think they would have been able to keep it secret from Emma for very long. To me, it's implausible that they could have been married and actually having relations, which may have occurred. There's some evidence supporting that. We just don't know. But they could have done this for very long without Emma figuring it out. She's a smart lady. So I put the marriage late 1835, early 1836, discovered, you know, a few weeks or months later. But that timeline is completely controversial. People are willing to pick days earlier, weeks, months earlier than that timeline. But I don't think that it actually would have been much earlier than that.
Okay. So then what brought the relationship to light?
And I meant to say there's a couple of reasons I think it was a marriage rather than just an adulterous relationship. We have one account, a single attestation again, from a rather dubious source. Mosiah Hancock added a description on the end of his father's autobiography, where he describes how Levi Hancock was approached by Joseph, and Joseph said, "Levi, you know, I want to marry Fanny, so can you be an intermediary in this?" And this was a pattern that was repeated in Nauvoo, not always, but it happened. And Levi approached Fanny. Fanny said yes, and so Levi performed the marriage. It wouldn't have been a sealing. It wouldn't have been an eternal marriage, but the authority that was used by Joseph to marry people for the church, but just for time in Kirtland, that authority certainly could have been used here, and that's my theory. Again, these are unanswerable questions, and critics are quick to rush in with other alternative interpretations, and it's just insoluble.
So let me make sure I understand that. So you're, because the marriage seems to have occurred before the vision in 1836 of Elias, Elijah, and third person.
Moses. Yeah.
So you're telling me that the marriage to Fanny was probably for time only?
There are some who believe it was after April 3rd.
And the marriage occurred after April, yeah. After the vision.
Yeah. And you actually can plug that in. It's plausible. Don Bradley's done some really good research, and he dates the discovery to May, June of 1836. So if the marriage occurred in, say, late April, May, June, and lasted just a few months before Emma found out, which is entirely plausible. I don't know that I embrace that, but that's, Don, at least we know when it broke up. We can date that pretty well. Then it could have been a sealing, and the authority could have been sealing authority that Joseph would have given to Levi. An alternate interpretation, and this is a question that comes up a lot, Rick, it's a good question, is if it wasn't a sealing, then what authority was used? The state wasn't going to allow Joseph to marry a second wife, so the only authority that it could have been would be priesthood authority, and Joseph was already using that authority to marry people just for time there in Kirtland. And so one interpretation is that Joseph gave that authority to Levi, and that this would have been strictly a priesthood marriage that Joseph would have argued God recognized. And so he recognized it, and Fanny and her family apparently recognized it, as did others who were involved. But not Oliver and not Emma. But the other reason that I think this was an actual marriage, the ceremony was performed, was that Eliza Snow moved in early 1836 to live with the Smiths and teach their children. In 1887, he was an independent historian, Andrew Jensen, showed up at Eliza's door and said, you know, I'm trying to make a list of all of the wives of Joseph Smith. Well, he had been down to see Melissa Lott, and Melissa Lott had given him 13 names that he'd written down on this piece of paper. And at some point, instead of him writing down what Eliza was saying, he turned the paper over to her and gave her the pencil, and she wrote an additional 13 names. And among those names was Fanny Alger. And so my theory is that if this had been an adulterous relationship, and he also wrote a paper on Fanny where he quotes Eliza as saying she was well acquainted with Fanny, and that Fanny was the one that Emma made such a fuss about. So Eliza was there, and I think Eliza would have known the details of what was going on. She considered Fanny a wife. And so these two bits of evidence to me, I think, are convincing for me that this was in fact a marriage, probably not a sealing. And again, I place it to late 35, early 36, but no way to date it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, I'm going to reference Dr. Staker again one more time. One of the things Dr. Staker said, which was surprising to me and I wanted to get your opinion on, was he said that he thought that when Peter, James, and John came in, was that 1829, 1830, and restored the Melchizedek priesthood to Joseph and Oliver, that they gave the sealing power to Joseph then. If you read the book of Matthew, it says upon Peter, it sounds like he gave the sealing, I'm not quoting it right, but gave the sealing power to Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and whatever you seal on earth shall be sealed in heaven. So I guess there's a case that could be made when Joseph received the Melchizedek priesthood from Peter, James, and John. Do you think that that sealing power might have come as early as 1830, or was it really 1836 with Elias, Elijah, and Moses?
You know, it's a super question, because Brigham Young later said that if you have the apostleship, you have all the authority. And the senior apostle, of course, holds the keys to exercising all of the authority. But every apostle has all the authority. There's no other authority that can be granted except that's given to an apostle. And we're told that Peter, James, and John ordained them as apostles, and with the same calling that Paul had received, and Paul was an apostle. So that's another supportive argument for this. But there seems to be, in the economy of heaven and authority, a need for certain keys to be restored to unlock certain authorities. And you could theorize that they had the authority, but they didn't have the keys. And now it gets really messy really quick, and I don't know of anybody who's really tried to sort through all this in a way that we could consider it an orthodox
That's
teaching.
Actually what Mark says, that he had the authority, he didn't have the keys until 1836.
Oh, well, if that's what Mark said, that's a really good thing then. I'm okay. Feeling good, because Mark's looked into this a lot more than I have.
Okay, very interesting. I hope you enjoyed our discussion with Dr. Brian Hales. In our next discussion, we'll continue to talk about Fanny and the plural marriage that she had with Joseph. Was this adultery, or was it an actual marriage? Did more people believe Joseph's version of the events or Fanny's?
What we understand is that more or less the people that Joseph Smith told about Fanny Alger as a plural wife, they didn't believe him. But most of the people that learned it from Fanny did believe, which is interesting. Fanny's family believed. The family that Fanny went to live with was Chauncey Webb and Eliza Jane Webb. They believed that this was an actual marriage.
Click here to subscribe, click here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some other videos that we've done here on YouTube. We hope you'll use this as a valuable resource to learn more about Mormon history.